Good morning. Oh, that's a good response. Nice. Well, as Coley mentioned, my name is Scott Barber, and I am blessed to be a pastoral resident here at Antioch Community Church. And part of that means that I get the privilege of bringing the word occasionally. And for my sermon today, it's going to be based on Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46, Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46, and if you don't have a Bible and you'd like to follow along, we've got a stack of Bibles in the back over there. Feel free to get up at any time and grab one, or feel free to get up at any time and grab a bagel or some coffee or something to drink if you need to. I'm going to have you put your finger on that passage in Matthew 25, 31 through 46. And we're going to come back to it a little bit later. Today's sermon is going to be a little bit out of the ordinary for those of you who are regular attenders to Antioch. It's going to be a little bit out of the box. I'm going to be sharing with you all a story for the majority of my sermon. And the scriptures are going to be kind of like the climax of the story. If you think about the gospel story, the crucifixion and the resurrection are at the end of the story, and they serve as the climax to which the story is building. And so I want you to think about the sermon like that. The scripture is going to be the climax to the story and to my sermon this morning. I'm going to be sharing with you all a story that my father would read to me and my siblings growing up, and it's entitled Where Love Is, God Is. And it's by a gentleman named Leo Tolstoy. He's a Christian and Russian philosopher and writer. Before I begin here, let me pray, and it'll be story time. Father, we're blessed to openly worship you and freely worship you. And Father, may we invite your Spirit to speak to us this morning. Let this story that I'm going to share, Father, bring insight to your word. And let your word enliven our hearts. Let your word transform our lives, Lord God. God, may I be your vessel this morning. Let your Spirit speak through me. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, in a certain town, there lived a cobbler by name of Martin Avditch. And Martin lived in a basement apartment with one window out of which he could look onto the street and see the people who would pass by. And Martin, being a cobbler, would recognize people by the boots that they wore. Martin was a good man, and in his old age, he began to reflect on matters of his soul and on drawing near to God. Well, prior to this time, Martin had lost his entire family. And at one point in time or another, they had all died from disease. And Martin's heart was heavy with despair. And he even wished that he no longer lived anymore, that the Lord would take his life. But he was directed to pick up a copy of the Gospels and read about Christ. And he did so. And in so doing, he found new hope in life through Christ. And reading the Gospels became a part of his everyday routine. He looked forward to every evening with his time in the Word. And it so happened that on one evening, Martin had sat down at his table, and he was in the Gospel of Luke, and he was reading in the seventh chapter about the Pharisee who had invited Jesus in. And he was reading about the sinful woman that attended to Christ at the Pharisee's home, and how she washed his feet with her tears, and how she anointed his feet with ointment. And Jesus, he justified her. And in the 44th verse, he read, "Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, 'Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet.' You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment." Martin paused and thought on this verse. He was like me, that Pharisee, thinking only of himself, how to get a cup of tea, to stay warm, how I can live life comfortably. He was like me. He only thought of himself and of his guest, the Lord, Jesus Christ. Would I receive him in the same way? And he laid his head down and fell asleep. Martin, startled, looked up to try to find the source of the voice, and no one was in his apartment. Martin, look out into the street tomorrow, for I shall come. Martin got up, and he was roused, trying to figure out, had he dreamed this, or was he really awake? And he decided to lay down in his bed and try to sleep it off. Well, he rose early the next morning and went about his day, setting his affairs in order, and put his soup in the oven, and along with the porridge, and put the teapot on the stove to warm up, and then got his chair and sat it beside the window, and in order to be able to look out the window and better see those people who would pass by. And he reflected upon and hoped for, maybe this wasn't a dream, and maybe Christ will come to visit me. Well, as he went about his work, he looked outside the window more than he did attend to his work. And he noticed the felt boots of a house porter. And he noticed a water carrier pass by. And then presently he noticed an old soldier with a shovel. And his name was Stepanich. He was familiar to Martin. And Stepanich was clearing the snow away from Martin's window. But he was an old and broken down man. Martin sat and thought to himself as he looked out at Stepanich, I'm a crazy old fool. Here I am looking out my window, and Stepanich has come to clear away the snow, and I'm thinking it's Christ, and he's come to visit me. What a silly man I am. And so he went back to stitching. But he was compelled eventually to look out the window again. And he noticed that Stepanich was outside, and he was either leaning on the wall or he was trying to get himself warm. And Martin thought to himself, well, the tea's about to boil. I'll have him come inside and he can warm up. So he went out and beckoned Stepanich to come in. He said, please, Stepanich, come inside. Warm yourself. Well, bless you, Martin. My bones do ache. So they went downstairs, and Martin had him sit at the table and filled up a tumbler with tea, and Stepanich sat down, drank the tea, and he emptied it quickly and set it down, obviously wanting more. And Martin got up, bless you, Stepanich, and gave him some more tea, and Martin sat back down, but Martin was preoccupied with the window. Are you waiting for somebody? Asked Stepanich. Am I waiting for somebody? Well, to be honest, I'm kind of ashamed to tell you. I'm not really expecting anyone to show up. But last night, I heard this voice, and I can't get it out of my head. You see, I was reading in the Gospels about Christ and how he suffered and lived on earth. And you've read them, right? Well, I've heard of them, but I'm an ignorant old man, and I can't read myself. Well, you see, I was reading a part in the Gospel of Luke where Christ had visited this Pharisee, and he didn't properly receive him. And I thought to myself, would I do the same? I mean, what I would not do to welcome our Lord properly. And so after that, I fell asleep. But then I was awakened by this by this voice saying, expect me to come tomorrow. And it's this voice said it twice over. And so I'm ashamed to say it, but I believe it, and I keep expecting Christ to come and see me and visit me. And Stepanich shook his head in wonder. And moreover, I was thinking about how Christ came and he lived on earth and he didn't despise anyone. And he walked among the common people. And he called his disciples from workers like you and I, sinners that we are. And his words, those who would lift themselves up will be lowered. But those who humble themselves, they will be lifted up. And those who desire to be first must be last. Because blessed are the poor, the meek, the merciful. And Stepanich, being an old man and easily moved to tears, had tears streaming down his face. Martin got up to offer him some more tea, but Stepanich pushed it away, saying, Martin, you've blessed me so much today. Not only have you given me food and comfort for my body, but also for my soul. Thank you, Martin. And Martin helped Stepanich out the door, and he got back to his workstation and set it up by the window, thinking about Christ and his words. And he set about to stitch, and he continued to observe out the window, and he noticed some military men walk by, and one in government-issue boots and the other in his own shoes. And then a tradesman walked by with nice, shiny galoshes. And then he noticed a stranger walking by. It was a woman, and she had torn stockings and shabby boots and clothes. And she passed the window and stopped by the wall on the other side, and she turned her back to the wind to warm herself. But Martin noticed that she was carrying a baby. And the baby was crying, and she was trying to soothe the baby. And she only had summer clothes on. Martin, moved by this, went outside and beckoned her in. He said, my dear, please, come inside. Get warm. Get out of the cold. Please, come inside. And the woman, startled by the sight of an old man in glasses and an apron, but she followed him in, and she went down inside. And Martin had her sit on her bed and on his bed next to the stove. Please, please warm yourself next to the stove and feed your baby. Haven't any milk. I haven't eaten all day. But she still tried to nurse the baby. And Martin shook his head and got up and went to the stove and pulled out a bowl of soup and some bread and put it on the table for the woman and invited her, please come eat. I'll take care of the baby. Lord knows I've had plenty of experience. And Martin set the baby on the bed and began to play with the baby, and eventually the crying turned to laughing. And as the woman ate, she shared with Martin her story. My husband is in the army, and he's been gone for 8 months, and I've heard nothing from him since. I used to work as a cook, but once I had children, they sent me out. And we've had nothing to eat. I had to sell everything I had for food. And there was a tradeswoman from my hometown, and she'd offered me a position, and I thought everything was settled, but she doesn't want me for another week, and I don't know what we're going to do. Fortunately, our landlady lets us stay at our place for free. But I don't know what we're going to do. Martin shook his head. Well, at least you have some warmer clothes. Warmer clothes? We had to sell all we had for food. I just sold my last last shawl to the pawn shop for 6 pence just for food. And Martin walked across the room to where things were hanging and grabbed an old cloak and walked over to the woman and handed it to her. And she just burst into tears. She said, "The Lord bless you, Martin. It must have been Christ who brought me by your window. You see, otherwise my baby would have frozen. Earlier today when we set out, it was warm, but as we've gone along, it's gotten so cold. It must have been Christ who had you look out your window and to have pity on me, a poor wretch." And Martin smiled and said, "Indeed, it was. It was he who made me look out my window and see you. That was no chance. It was no chance at all." And as the woman wrapped herself and her baby in the cloak and went to leave, Martin said, "Please, for God's sake, take this." And he gave her 6 pence to buy her shawl out of the pawn. He saw her out and got back to his work, again setting his stool by the window to work, and he went back to stitching up the shoe and working on a seam, and not too long he saw a woman, an apple woman, who had a basket with that was almost empty of apples, but she was outside struggling with a sack on her back. It was evidently heavy for her, and it was causing her pain, and so she was trying to get the sack off her back and set it on the ground. And as she set it on the ground, she put the basket on a post. And she went to resituate the pack, and Martin observed a little young boy sneak across the road and snatch an apple out of the basket and went to make off. But the old woman grabbed him by his hair, and he screamed, and the woman scolded. And Martin ran outside to intervene. And while he got out there, the woman was threatening to take the boy to the police, and the boy was screaming, "Let me go! Let me go! Stop beating me! I didn't do anything!" And Martin tried to separate the two of them, and he spoke to the old woman, saying, "Granny, please, for Christ's sake, let him go. Forgive him. I'll pay him out. He'll see. He'll learn this lesson for a year. I'm going to take this rascal to the police." And Martin entreated with the woman again, "Please, Granny, he won't do it again. For Christ's sake, let him go." And after being entreated, the old woman let the young boy go. And he went to steal off, but Martin stopped him. "Ask Granny's forgiveness, and don't do it again. I saw you take the apple." And the boy broke down and cried, began to beg pardon to the old woman. And Martin said, "That's right, that's right. And here," he grabbed an apple from the basket, "please take this apple. Granny, I'll pay you, don't worry." "You'll spoil him that way, these old rascals. He ought to be whipped. That way he'll learn his lesson for a week." "Oh, Granny, Granny, that's our way. But that's not God's way. If he ought to be whipped for an apple, then what ought God to us for our sins?" And Martin went on to explain to the woman about the parable that Christ shared of the master who forgave his servant a significant debt. And that servant went off to a fellow servant who owed him a much smaller debt and began to choke him. The woman listened intently, as did the young boy. "God bids us forgive, Granny, or we shall not be forgiven. Forgive everyone, especially a youngster like this." "It's too true, but I say these rascals are getting terribly spoiled these days." "Well, let us old ones teach them better ways."
"That's what I say. I've got 7 grandchildren my own." And as she thought upon them, her heart softened. "I know, God bless him, it was only his childishness," she spoke, referring to the boy. And she went to grab her sack and put it back on her back, and the boy jumped and said, "Granny, please, let me help you with that. I'm going your way."
And so she helped the sack on the boy, and they went off down the road together. And after they were out of sight, Martin went back inside and set about to work again. But it was getting late, and the light had gone. And so he had to go and light a lamp and hang it on the wall. And he went and stitched some more and finished the boot that he was working on and then put it aside. Took the lamp, put it on his table, and then grabbed the Gospels off the wall and opened them to read where he had left off yesterday. But the Bible opened to a different place. And as it did, his thoughts went to the dream and vision he had yesterday. And as he was thinking about this, he thought he heard footsteps coming from the back of his apartment. He thought he could see someone in the corner. And he heard a voice, "Martin, don't you know me?" And out of the corner came the voice, "It is I." And out stepped Stepanich. And he smiled. And he waved and vanished like a cloud. "It is I." And out stepped the woman and her baby. She smiled and the baby laughed. And they vanished. "It is I." And out stepped Granny and the young boy. And they smiled and waved and vanished. Martin's heart was glad. And he went back and turned to the scriptures where they had opened. And he read at the top, "When I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me in." And at the bottom of the page, he read, "Inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it to me." And Martin understood that his dream had come true that day, and that Christ had visited him, and he had welcomed him. If you haven't turned there already, or if you pulled your finger out of the place, please turn with me to our passage for today. Matthew 25, 31 through 46. Matthew is the first book in the second portion of the Bible, the New Testament. Matthew 25, 31 through 46. "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you in advance. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you did it to me.' Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they will also answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, as you did it to the least of these, as you did not do it to the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. This passage, along with the parables preceding it, communicate the message that faith in Christ is evidenced by faithfulness to the end, until Christ returns. But more specifically in the passage that we have today is that faith in Christ leads us to look outside of ourselves and to see and serve the least of these, the poor, the outcast, and the oppressed. Let me repeat that. Faith in Christ leads us to look outside of ourselves to see and serve the least of these, the poor, the outcast, and the oppressed. You see, Christ's heart, his very purpose and mission was to come and to serve and give his life for the least of these, for the spiritually poor, outcast, and oppressed, you and me, all of us. You see, previously, Christ had explained to the disciples in Matthew 20, 28, that he had come to be a ransom sacrifice for many. And that ransom was a purchase price to purchase slaves out of slavery. And Christ's time to be a slave was to be in the social gutter. All right? So Christ purchased us through his life out of slavery, slavery to sin, to death, and the devil. But in addition to this, Christ goes on to say in Matthew 26, 28, that his blood is for the forgiveness of our sins. So he didn't just pull us out of the gutters, but he's brought us to the Father's table and made us right through his own sacrifice. He's made us in right relationship with God, that we might share in his inheritance as sons and daughters of God. You see, it's only through saving faith in Christ's work that we can understand his heart for the least of these. And this faith, as the passage points out to us, will be evidenced by faithfulness to the end. So for us, if Christ is our Lord and Savior, then his great love makes us look out of our windows like he did Martin, and thereby serve the poor, welcome the outcast, and attend to the oppressed. The woman with the baby, through tears, spoke to Martin saying, surely it must have been the Lord who made you look out your window and have pity on me. Indeed, faith in Christ leads us to look outside of our windows. So the question, a few questions I have for us this morning in terms of application. Have you come to experience this faith in Christ? Have you come to experience what he has done for us, for you, as the least of these? And to rest your full weight, your full life on him, that he would be Savior and Lord of your life. For those of us who trust in Christ, my question for you is, how are you doing at looking out your window? How are you doing at looking out your window and seeing the least of these in your life? Maybe this is at your apartment complex or in your neighborhood, or maybe it's at work or even here in our own community at Antioch. Take a brief moment here. I want you to just reflect. I want you to reflect upon who might be the least of these standing outside your window in your life. Take a brief moment to think upon that. Now, the application of this is not just individually, but also for us as a community. And the question we have to answer here at Antioch is, how are we as a community looking outside our window into Northeast community, Northeast Minneapolis, and serving the least of these? If you take your bulletin, you'll notice on the back, if I can grab mine here, you'll notice on the back our core values. And one of those is holistic mission. And we believe the gospel compels us to serve the whole person. One of the ways in which we've been looking outside our window in Northeast Minneapolis, among various different service opportunities, has been to partner with an organization called Eastside Neighborhood Services. And we've been serving at their thrift store. And I just want to encourage you guys, over the last several months, our faithfulness has improved significantly in serving Eastside as we've adopted a weekend. And I want to encourage you guys to continue through your community groups to adopt a Saturday and to set that aside. You can talk with April Peterson to set up those dates so we don't double book things. But I want to encourage you guys continue to be about that. The other way in which the Lord has called us to look outside our window has been, as leadership, we've been examining our hearts and our community here and realize that we may not have done well at reaching out to those people representative of Northeast community. And maybe our community here doesn't represent Northeast community as it could. And so looking out our window, and prayerfully so, God led us to Pillsbury Elementary School. And over the last several months, the community service team here has been developing a relationship with Pillsbury Elementary School to ask them and reflect with them, how can we help serve them? They're a school that has enormous needs, and they need partners to come alongside them and lift them up so they can achieve their goal. And so these children and families can have access to the same things that you and I do to have a quality life here in America. But more importantly, hopefully, to know Christ. Let me introduce you to Pillsbury here with just a few remarks. Pillsbury is located in just north of the quarry, and it's an elementary school that is for pre-K through fifth grade. And here's some quick demographics or stats for you about Pillsbury. It's quite a diverse school. 35% is Hispanic, 34% African-American, 23% white, 4% Asian, and 3% Native American. In addition, over 400 of the 650 students speak English as their second language. They have another language as their primary language. In fact, at least 12 different languages are spoken by the children at Pillsbury. More staggering is the reality, the fact that 83% of the kids live in poverty. 83%. Of the kids live in poverty. 5% of the students are homeless or highly mobile. Combine the poverty with being second language, English as their second language, and that sets up a lot of barriers to them as having the same access that you and I have to a quality life here in the United States. Now, we sat down and talked with the leadership there and asked them to prioritize their needs because they are many. And these are the following needs, and I'm going to have April Lindemann come up and help me explain about reading tutors. Reading tutors is their number one priority in which they would like for somebody, and may we be that somebody, to come alongside them and help them. Go ahead.
I guess there's just kind of wanted to touch on with the good that you can do if you were to act as a reading tutor or kind of start going in and volunteering your time to just work with these kids when you're able to. One of the biggest things is being in a classroom, the teacher doesn't have as much time as they would like to work with a child in like one-on-one. So that's a very big value right there if you were to come in and be able to work with a child for 10 minutes in a one-on-one scenario, being able to read with that child, let that child read to you. And during that time, you'd be able to encourage the child to use what they've been learning in their classroom, practice using the reading strategies. And then, like Scott said, with so many of the children being language learners, at home, they don't have a native English-speaking example to be reading with them or to be correcting them as needed while they're reading. So that would be a very valued addition to their education, to just have an adult spend an extra 10, 15 minutes with that child to be reading in English with them and helping them with their English. And the last thing is it's really a great way for you to be able to build a relationship with a child and encourage that child as they are working through learning to be a reader, or maybe if, you know, whatever it was, if it was math or science. So I think that's just kind of really where we're trying to bridge that gap there, is through building that relationship with the children and then in turn with the community. The teachers and the parents are going to be very grateful for your time and your concern for their children. So I'm really excited about this. So,
thank you, April.
Yeah.
And as far as the reading tutors go, they are extremely flexible. If you can show up at 7 in the morning, their doors open really early for the kids. And so they're available. If it's 7 in the morning, if it's your lunchtime, many jobs give their employees an additional break for community service. So consider that. Maybe it's a lunchtime, an extended lunch, or maybe it's after work. They on Mondays and Wednesdays, they have an extended after-school program from 2 to 5 p.m. And this just might be a commitment of a half an hour to an hour once a week in this child's life. They also asked us to offer mentoring services to their children, that they want us to be able to speak into these kids' lives. Now, we're not sure how we can do that, and so we're still exploring that, but we'll let you know more about that. Landscaping is another need that they have. Who here is a member of Plantioch Interest Group? There's a couple proud people back there, all right? Well, get this. Their volunteer coordinator, who's also the parent liaison, is also responsible for landscaping at their school because of limited resources. Fortunately, they have somebody dedicated to mowing the lawn, because otherwise it wouldn't happen. So they need help beautifying Pillsbury, because she just can't get to it. In addition, they are looking to plant a garden, and because they have a value of sustainable resources, and to use that food in their lunches that they serve with their kids. And so how cool is that? All right? And so in the future here, if the snow ever thaws, we'll have a work day where we'll help beautify the school and get that garden started, and we'll be a sustaining effort there. The carnival, they have a carnival June 3rd, and at the carnival, it's a big fundraiser for them, and it's open to the whole community in Northeast Minneapolis. All right, it's a big deal, and they need lots of help. So June 3rd, you'll hear more about that as well. Monthly events, they have once a month, they have a family night where they bring the families in, and the kids get to share with the parents about what they're doing. They play games together. This month is math. They're going to have math night, which it's going to be too soon for us to be able to help. But next month is family fitness night on April 14th. It's a Thursday. And then finally, box tops. A really simple and easy way for us to be helpful to the community. And I didn't know this, but box tops are everywhere, all right? They are really helpful for the for procuring resources for the school and for the students at the school. And so I want to challenge you guys. We should have some kind of competition between community groups of who can collect the most box tops by the end of the school year or something like that. But if that doesn't happen, we do have a little Tupperware dish out front. You can bring your box tops throughout the week. Box tops can be found on General Mills products. Just about anything I found, you can find a box top on. So look, next time when you buy things, buy products, like Kleenex and cereal and things like that, look on the container or wrapping or whatever. So today is a really kickoff day for our partnership with Pillsbury as a community, as Antioch. And we've got some steps that we've got to take before we can actually get across the threshold of the doors and help the kids. And the big step that we have next for us as individuals and as a community is to complete the volunteer process. And this is going to be happening through your community groups starting this week. Your community service representative of your group is going to be, will help lead you guys through the volunteer process, completing the paperwork, and their volunteer coordinator is offered to come to your community group to complete the training. They want us there pretty bad, which is awesome. So over the next weeks and months, the most important priority is we need to complete this formality of the volunteer process, paperwork, and get that done so that we can actually step into the lives of the students. And so as we've mentioned these different needs, the reading tutors, mentoring, landscaping, carnival, monthly events, box tops, consider for yourself, where do you see yourself fitting? Where's God given you the resources, the time and space in your life to help us as a community here come alongside Pillsbury and serve them? To close here, faith in Christ leads us, like Martin, to look outside of our windows. And so may it be said of us at Antioch Community Church, like it was said of Martin, that surely Christ made you look out your window and have pity on us. Pray with me. Father, it only comes from the passion of your heart and the passion of your Son who pursued us to the cross, the least of these, that we might follow you in practically, tangibly serving those outside our window. And God, may we be moved. Lord, shake us, God, because we have the tendency to pursue our own comfort, Lord. Help us to get out of our boxes and comfort zones to reach out to these least of these, because it's got to be intentional. Help us, oh God. May we be blessed to hear those words, come, you who are blessed. May we hear those words, oh God. In your name I pray. As the worship team plays here, we're going to have offertory, and offertory is an extension of our worship and our love for the Lord that's expressed in generosity. So this is not an obligatory thing in any way, but comes out of our worship, out of our love for the Lord. And in addition to following offering, today is the first Sunday of the month, which means for us here at Antioch that we celebrate the Lord's Supper. We celebrate communion. And I want to invite you guys to consider this time. Just as Christ invited us, stepped down into our world and pulled us, the least of these, and brought us to his table, to eat at his table with him. I want you to reflect upon that, that he's our Savior, that he has made us sons and daughters with him. And as a result, he is both Lord and Savior and demands our faithfulness. So reflect upon that as you partake in the bread and the juice. And we want to invite anyone who here is a follower of Christ to join us at this table. But if you've not entrusted your life to Christ and placed faith in him, then we ask that you forgo this. Thank you.